This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910 Richmond. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and unique takes like only Frank and Hobbo can. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, TGI Fridays, West Broad Hyundai, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Franklin Federal, TheSaber.com, Stauer Affordable Luxuries, Richmond Allergy and Asthma, Kelleher Heating and Air, Hilldrop Moving, La Mer Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and by Sarge Reynolds. Now Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
All right, Wahoos and fellow ACC sports fans, Frank here, Hobbo to my far right, and special guest in studio tonight.
Barely in studio, you know, made it with 30 seconds to spare here.
Totally unshaven.
Just a little goatee. He's got who is the guy on Dobie Gillis? Manfred to T. Krebs or something like that. That was really old school.
I get a call at 3:30 this afternoon.
No, you didn't, poppycock. You've had weeks.
Well, the biggest accomplishment today was getting in the building, which was thanks to Douglas. He drove up, and when I was standing outside thinking there might not be a Who's Talking tonight.
There was one employee downstairs. The entire rest of the building is shut down.
It is quiet.
Oh, my goodness.
There was more action around here when we had a show on Christmas, I think, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, a lot to be excited about for Cavalier fans and for state basketball fans. The Wahoos are number two in the nation. I believe VCU is still hovering around 17, right?
They may be higher than that.
They might be 15 now.
So. Yeah, because they've won 9 or 10 games in a row.
So Rams fans, don't be offended, but we're paying attention. We cheer for the Rams, except when they play the Who's.
No, I've said that. I think the Rams are very good, and I think they're a sweet 16-caliber team this year.
And, let's give kudos to the Spiders. They had a good win last week against Davidson Wildcats.
And the most important news from Saturday night.
Yes.
My granddaughter won the baby crawl at halftime.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's big news. Free tuition for 4 years at the University of Richmond.
This is a Connors?
Well, maybe not quite free
maybe
tuition.
Not much, probably more like a gift certificate to Bernie's or something.
But nevertheless, it was big news. Old Claire, she got a slow start, but she really spurted. And then it was a three-horse race down at the end, but she had that last surge to get across the finish line.
You sure it's not a fun mill?
All right, let's talk basketball, guys.
Well, you talk basketball games. So, yeah.
Basketball. Wahoos took care of business on Saturday in a more closely contested contest than most Wahoos would have liked.
My blood pressure keeps going up. You know, these games that are close at halftime, and then we come out and let the other team have a little spurt at the beginning of the second half, so we have even a hole to dig out from. But
well, let's face it. Just as the issue was brought up many times at ACC Operation Basketball down in Charlotte. The Queen City, Charlotte. Everyone wanted to know what it would be like for the Cavaliers if they were no longer the hunter, but they were the hunted. And as defending ACC champions and a team now sporting a 17-0 record, 5-0 in the conference, or as Hobbo likes to say, the league.
Mr. Gates can speak to that because he was on such a team. And, you got a target on your back. You're the big game in some cases of the year for these teams. And it's just hard to win on the road in the ACC, period. But when you go in there and it's a huge game for the other team, they had a good crowd at Tecate Forum the other day, and I've seen some other BC games where there was nobody there. So Virginia's a draw.
Well, I can tell you, the moral to the story that I was a part of is you don't play Notre Dame on a Sunday in Chicago.
So the biggest news of the year is we played Notre Dame on Saturday this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not Sunday. Never Sunday again. Never, never, never.
All right. Well, that's a good moral of the story. We have to start checking the schedule to see if we have any Sunday games against Jesuit schools. Yep. But we're done with Notre Dame and BC now, so I think we're done with the Jesuit schools.
Well, I like a lot of things about this basketball team. The balance is remarkable. As I predicted before the season got off the ground, I felt like this was the most athletic and deepest team Virginia has fielded.
Do you remember him saying this before the season started?
Many times. And going back to when Terry was playing, I'm trying to give him a compliment, Hobbo, back out of here. So that team with Ralph and Othell and Ricky and Jeff Lamp and Lee Raker and T. Gates at power forward and Craig Robinson rebounding, this is the deepest, most athletic team since 80-81, and I don't think it's a coincidence that Virginia is 17-0 and back in 80-81, 23-0.
Well, you say that, but you know, you're implying that this is better than last year's team, and I haven't bought into that yet because I don't know how you subtract Mr. Harris and Mr. Mitchell and add Isaiah Wilkins and Mariel Shayok and get a better team.
Well,
it may be at the end of the year, but
it's probably too early to make that judgment this year versus last year.
It is,
but you have to also look at the almost exponential improvement of Justin Anderson. You know, not that he wasn't a good player last year, but although Saturday he struggled.
He couldn't throw the broadside of a barn. Yeah.
Well, but 8 of 9 from the free throw line bodes well for 18 of 21. So,
well, yeah. I mean, as Coach Bennett said after the game, his quotes were, you know, I mean, Justin Anderson contributed in other ways, but he clearly was not shooting the ball well for really the first time all year because he's up until Saturday he was shooting, I think, 57% from outside the 3-point line. Which is just unbelievable. But Anderson's improved. You do have some freshmen.
But he played so poorly. He played 34 minutes second on the team. So you still want him out there
for a lot of reasons.
And that's what I was seeing with Joe Harris, the toughness of Joe Harris and Akil Mitchell. Justin Anderson can improve exponentially, but you have two players there that were crunch time, tough kids. Joe Harris was on the blocks and they were shooting free throws at the end of games.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't want to take away from last year's team because they were sensational, had a great year. And, I mean, what the heck? They were number one seed in the NCAA tournament, so they were obviously pretty good. 16-2 in the ACC's, remarkable. But this year, I mean, you know, as Frank said, they're very deep. The young kids, particularly Shayok and Wilkins, are starting to contribute. You got London Perantes now is an experienced point guard, whereas last year, at least early in the season, he was still learning.
Right, and what he's a key. He needs to shoot 5, 6, 7 times a game, and some of those games where he's not shooting, you know, he needs to be the third option on the floor sometimes.
Yeah, which on Saturday,
he made
two huge threes and then made a great drive to the bucket. So he had 8 points in a relatively short period of time, which extended the lead into double digits because prior to that little spurt there, I mean, Boston College was still in the game. And, you know, I mean, there aren't that many bad teams. I mean, you look at Virginia Tech, I don't know if they're the worst team in the ACC at the moment or not, but I tell you, on Sunday, going into their building, I'm still going to be nervous because you're playing a rival, you know, the place is going to be packed. Yep. All the students are going to be there, and that's the one game that would make their season if they beat Virginia.
That would be the feather in Buzz's cap. Yeah. Yep.
By the way, did you watch the game last night? Did they not have collar stays down in Blacksburg? You know, Buzz, I noticed the shirt, you know, it was really kind of flying up. You know, I figured maybe they don't have collar stays down
there. He might end up having a heart attack just like that coach Izzo out there at Michigan State. They look like something's about to give. I mean, I know their doctors must be terrified watching them in games. No. But
Tom Izzo, he has got a few more W's, and he's also got a Waterford Crystal basketball outside his office.
I'm not comparing the two coaches other than their sideline demeanor.
All right,
let's talk. Let's go back and talk about the meat and potatoes here. All right, Virginia's 5-0 in the conference. This is a team that seemingly has interchangeable parts. On any given night, a different player can put up the scoring. They all rebound pretty darn good defensively. They all defend the ball better and better as the game goes on. I think the thing that is most remarkable to me is a guy like Shayok is already, he strikes me as a very confident basketball player. And for a true freshman to be playing like that. And now you've got Isaiah Wilkins making big jump shots midway through the second half. And you're going, if you're the other coach, you've got to be going, oh my goodness, where are these guys coming from?
Yeah, but that's Boston College. And I would say this, that Shayok, he figured out to get on the court, he had to play defense. So he figured out the key there were some minutes coming off this bench that were unclaimed at the beginning of the year, and he certainly claimed his fair share because he's getting as many minutes as Evan Nolte right now, and sometime from Toby. Toby only had, what, 9 minutes on Saturday. But there are minutes, and I think you hit on a subject here, that the bench has to be consistent. The bench has to be want to be in there. They have to want to take those shots. And first-year kids are pretty – they don't worry about a whole lot of things. If I'm open, I'm shooting it. And until they go in early, fine. But when they don't go in –
Mm-hmm. Well, the guy that's suffering is a result of Shayok, and I think clearly he's become the third guard option. You got Brogdon and Perantes, and now Shayok, sort of three guys rotating two positions, but the guy that's probably suffering as a result is Devin Hall.
Yeah.
His minutes have really been curtailed. And I think Shayok, I mean, he's proven that he, as Frank said, he can play defense, and the other thing is he brings offense to the table too. He's made some big jump shots in the last two or three games, showing that even though he's a first-year guy, he's not the least bit afraid to step back and take a big shot at a key moment.
Well, he's got out there early and often. He's got a lot more minutes, and he's showing. And I like Devin Hall. I like what he's a big guard. He's a strong guard. He can do a lot of things for you, but you know, you can't do it sitting on the bench with your warm-up on.
As you well know, there's only 200 minutes to spread around.
Right.
And as you just mentioned, you know, Perantes, Anderson, and Brogdon are all playing about 35 a game,
right.
You know, particularly if the game is close. And if I'm Tony Bennett, I understand it. I want those guys on the floor, too.
You know, it's interesting looking at the box score from the Virginia BC game from Saturday. A nice win for Virginia. I wouldn't call anything earth-shattering, but 66-51, they covered the spread, which was 12.5. But looking at the box score, Darren Atkins, 8 points. Justin Anderson, 8 points. London Prentice, 8 points. You got Anthony Gill scoring 11, and Malcolm Brogdon getting 20. And then you see Shayok chipping in with 5, and Isaiah Wilkins chipping in with 6. If you're a head coach and your best scorer has an 0-for game from the field, and you still win by 15, aren't you saying to yourself, I've got something here. I've got something that could be very exciting.
Well, certainly they have something very exciting. I mean, I think their expectations this year are the limit from what happened last year. And you know, they should have played on. They could have played on. The Michigan State game was a wonderful game. They just did not make a few plays down the stretch, and Michigan State did. And I think Michigan State wore themselves out for the next game. And
well, I think, you know this better than anybody. When you get down to the Sweet 16, one, there are no bad teams.
Right.
So a lot of the time it really comes down to matchups, how you match up against the other team. You know, the one thing, if there's a vulnerability that I see on the Virginia team, if other teams have really quick guards, so you go back to Miami, the Rodriguez kid, sometimes, and I think that's where Shayok may be a key player going down the stretch, because I think Malcolm, as good as he is, sometimes he struggles against really quick guards from the other team, and even London to some degree. And I go
particularly,
back.
Particularly smaller quick guards.
Yeah.
They get under him, kind of.
And I go back to Jontel Evans. Say what you want about him, but he was the best on-ball defender I'd seen in a long, long time. The sad thing was he couldn't do anything on the offensive end. But, for Tony Bennett's defense, that pack line, you know, part of the theory or the philosophy is you can't let that guy, you know, penetrate the pack line, because once that happens, there's a collapse, kick it out on the wing, and that happened certainly to some extent against Miami, and I was a little bit fearful of that against Notre Dame, because they have a bunch of three-point shooters too.
Right. But it's this team is special in how hard they play. They understand what they're trying to do. They play tremendous defense. They wear you out, and when they make you play defense too, and that's what we're seeing in a lot of these games. You know, the Clemson game, not particularly good first half, but you know, you're sitting around and people are starting picking, going on the way home, you're talking, they're picking apart a team that just won by 30.
Yeah.
So, was up by 30. So
yeah.
It's just the style they play. It just kind of creeps and creeps and creeps, and they wear you down. In the last 5 minutes of the game, you've got to make some plays. You've got to rush your offense. And if
I thought Paul Woody had a good article a couple of weeks ago when he used the term grinder or grinding. They just kind of grind you down like coffee. You know, you have to work so hard on the defense and offensive end, it just wears people down.
But, you know, it's let's address that thought. Virginia does not seem to me like a team that's gritting their teeth when they're playing defense. They know their roles now. And even the freshmen are blending in very nicely, and they're moving so nicely on defense. I think Virginia, with this rotation, when he plays 8, 9, 10 guys, at the end of these games, we saw Clemson just folded up the tents. Boston College at the end was totally confused, and not executing worth a nickel. All they could do was foul. And it almost seems to me like this team is like getting pretty close to a well-oiled machine, and it's going to be important because after Georgia Tech on Thursday, Virginia Tech over the weekend, then they got to play some of the big boys: Duke, Carolina, Louisville, and then NC State. So they hit the meat of the schedule after that. But all right, we've got to go to break. We're going to come back and talk about the upcoming schedule. Terry Gates is with us in studio. Habbo and Franco. Chris Sill is taking a vacation today. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.